Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Ready to talk about our man, Uva.
Yes. And welcome back to Slayer Sisters, everybody.
Yes. Welcome back. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Jessica.
Let's...
cool sis.
Yeah.
Love that you were like, yeah, immediately.
Yeah. I'm like, whatever she says is, yeah.
The cool sis who snorts.
Me.
Anyway, yes, let's talk about our man Uva.
Alright, I'm the dust jacket so everyone has a feel of the book. So it says, at first sight, Uva is almost certainly the grumpiest man you will ever meet, a curmudgeon with staunch principles, strict routines, and a short fuse. He thinks himself surrounded by idiots, and no wonder, with all those happy joggers and shop assistants who talk in code, not to mention the perpetuators of the vicious coup that ousted him as chairman of his neighborhood residents' association. People think him bitter, but must a man be bitter just because he doesn't walk around with a smile plastered on his face all the time? Doesn't mm-hmm. always tell people what they want to hear and remain yep. silent when he has nothing in particular to say? Uva's well-ordered solitary world gets a shake-up one November morning with the appearance of new neighbors, a chatty young couple and their two boisterous daughters, who announce their arrival by accidentally flattening Uva's mailbox with their U-Haul. What follows is a funny and heartwarming tale of unkept cats, unlikely friendships, and community's unexpected reassessment of the one person they thought they had all figured out. A word-of-mouth bestseller that has caused a sensation across Europe, Frederick Bachman's irresistible novel about the angry old man next door is an uplifting exploration of the unreliability of first impressions and a gentle reminder that life is sweeter when it's shared with other people.
No.
I know.
It like makes me emotional.
Yeah, I know. It was so good.
Oh, it really was.
All right, so you start us off with your thoughts, babe.
Well, my thoughts are just that it was amazing. And there was, like, no way I could, like, the only way I could talk about all of my favorite parts would literally be to talk about every single part of the book.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I used the fact that we had a book and two movies to pick three favorite parts.
Oh, that's smart. I didn't do that. But
that's really funny.
Pick, you know, my favorite part.
Yeah.
But there was just everything about it was good. I was pulled in from the beginning.
Yeah.
And I cared so much about what was going to happen to him. And like the more you learn about him, the more you just love him and love him and love him.
Yeah.
And so it was, yeah, I just, every single part just built on and got better. But I think my favorite aspect of the book is the fact that truly it's like this beautiful love story between Uva and Sonya.
Yeah.
And that part was just amazing because it's just like, I wasn't expecting this to be like a romance book.
Right, right.
And it wasn't just that, but that was like the main drive behind it all. And
yeah.
I loved them so much.
Yeah, agreed.
You know?
So. Yeah. No, they were... Yeah, no, there it was very sweet to have that like romance plot kind of throughout the whole book. That was just like not necessarily like it kind of snuck up on you, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just so sweet. And I loved how they met.
Oh, me too.
On the train with him being like he just like kept riding the train at the same time just so he could talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
And like I just was like, oh my god, this is like the sweetest thing. And I just like felt like obviously Uva goes through a lot as a kid with his mom dying,
yeah,
and then watching his dad die was really, it was also, which I didn't remember, did he watch his dad die in the book or is that just something that
I don't remember him watching it die.
I don't think he did either. I think it was like something that he just was like, and then one day my dad had an accident and got hit by it.
Yeah.
But he was still fairly young, I feel like, when that happened too. And just anyways, and so just for him to be just like such, he's just such a good man.
Yeah.
He's such a good human. And he goes through so much, and then he gets to meet Sonya, who's, I mean, I died when he, like, their first date, uh-huh. when she's like, why didn't you, like, order, like, a meal, like, a real meal? And he's like, oh, I ate before I came.
Right.
She's like, why? And he's like, so you could order whatever you wanted? I was like, oh, my God. I know. I would marry this man right then and there.
Yeah.
I was like, and it was just, and then he just kept getting better and better, like, when she's, like, taking out all of her books and then just out of bookcases, and he's just like, oh, I'll just build you a new one.
I know.
And then, and then when he goes and he, like, help, like, builds all, like, wheelchair accessible things.
Yeah.
And I just love him. He was just such a sweet. He was such, like, I feel like he was such a man in the way where he was, like, he shows his love mostly just, like, through doing things.
Yeah, for sure.
For people. But it was, like, I just loved that about him. I also loved that he was always so willing to, I don't know. He was, like, the, honestly, like, what, like, a hero I feel like should be.
Yeah.
Where he just, like, when he, like, goes into the fire when he's
young. I know.
And, like, you know what I mean? Like, he just, like, does things kind of without thinking about it because it's just, like, the right thing to do.
For sure.
And I'm just, yeah, he was just so.
And doesn't want, like, credit for it or anything. He just is doing it because he should do it. You know?
Yes, exactly. Like, it's literally just, like, oh, this is what I should do and this is what a good person does and I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And it, yeah, it's just, he's the best. I just really loved learning about his life.
I thought
his life was fascinating. Sorry, I have to cough. My bad, guys. I'm recovering from being sick all week, so I'm coughing a little bit during this. My bad. But, yeah, no, I just loved him. I loved the book. And I really loved his relationship with Parvana.
Me too.
And that she was my second favorite in the whole book.
Yeah. Parvana was great.
Parvana. And just everything he does for everyone. I love watching him go from like he clearly like was always a little bit like, you know, wasn't the most social man, but I doubt he was as curmudgeon-y as, you know, as a young man, as he became. And it was fun, like, watching him kind of become more social and, like, live life with people again.
Oh, for sure.
It was just so sweet. I loved it all.
I will say about Parvana, so I know you haven't seen this, but for our listeners who are fellow Great British Bake Off fans, like me, major fans, Parvana is just like Nadia, who was season 6 winner of the Great British Bake Off and one of the best winners of the show ever. She was amazing. And literally the whole time I was reading this book, I was like, oh my God, she's just like Nadia. Like, she's just like Nadia. Like, everything about her, like, her personality just reminded me so much of Nadia. And so that was fun to, like, and, like, that was who I pictured in my head while I was reading it, was, like, literally, I was just, like, viewing Nadia's, like, face the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And
I love how much you love a show that you, that, like, is about a thing that you, like, genuinely don't do at all.
Bake.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. But that's, like, what makes it so impressive, you know?
I mean, yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah. But I just love it. And it's so wholesome and sweet and a perfect show. And mm-hmm. Yeah, so I know that there's got to be Great British Bake Off fans who are listening, and they will agree with me if they
read
this book. They'll be like, oh yeah, Nadia is for sure Parvana.
Yeah, I'm sure that that's true.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. But as far as, like, a specific, like, favorite scene of mine, again, it's, like, hard. I do have a least favorite part, like, for sure. But my... I really liked when Mirsad came to live with him.
Yeah.
And it was, like, him, Mirsad, and the cat.
Yeah.
Like, against, like, the world. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he, like, had these, like, buddies to, like, go out with.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
roam the neighborhood and stuff. And, like, I just really loved that part. But then leading, oh gosh, it's not even, I have like 7,000 favorite parts, but then, like, leading into, like, Jimmy and Mossad, like, finding out, like, they got married. God.
That was so fun.
I was so obsessed with that. And then everything you find out about Jimmy, about, like, his mom with the abusive partner.
Oh yeah.
And him and Rune, like, take him on.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, talking about, like, and they, like, gave the mom money. And then at the very end, it's like, and that kid's that kid's name was Jimmy, like, I literally, like, burst into tears at that part.
I know.
Because I, like, I don't know why I didn't, like, put together that it was Jimmy until, like, that sentence. But, like,
it took
I was
me,
just
I also didn't really put it all together for a while.
Yeah. Either. And so that, like, really got me.
Yeah.
So that was just, like, another favorite part. And then my last favorite part that I will say is the end when it's, like, they're selling the house. And it's, like, this clearly, like, a young Sonia and, like, a young Uwe. And then they ask, like, when she, like, asks what car he drives and he, like, gets all proud and he's, like, a Saab.
Yes. Oh, I know. I loved that part, too.
It was, like, the most perfect, like, closing paragraph of a book ever. Like,
it was
top closing paragraph of all time. Yeah. Like, I loved it.
Yeah.
Everything about it. But those are, like, some top standout scenes for a book that has, like, a million of them. Those are just ones that really stood out to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I had a hard I would like to say I struggled to pick a favorite part, but I did it. It was there's a lot I really loved in this book.
Yeah.
My favorite part that had me cackling reading it the whole time was his journey with the cat in the car to Sonia's grave. And him, like, putting down, like, trying to put down stuff in the back, the newspaper, and then the cat being like, fuck this. And then he just puts – then the cat just, like, gets in the front seat, and then Uwe slams on the brakes on purpose. So the cat hits the front, and the cat's like, oh – bet your ass I am gonna get you back for this. And he gets out of the car to go get the flowers and comes back, and the cat has licked everything, saliva all over, and is sitting there like, yeah, what do you want from me, man? Like, you can play this game. And then they get to Sonia's grave and he's like, yeah, I have a cat now. I got this thing. I guess this is mine now. And I was dying. I was like, this is the most cat shit ever. To also be like, like, why do they even want to hang out with us sometimes is what I want to know. But yet they do.
Yeah.
And pretty much all of the cat things in this movie were really, on a personal level, so touching. I just loved – and I loved how in his will, when he was like, the cat likes to shit outside the house and in private.
Right.
Please respect that.
Yeah.
I was like, stop. I can't. And he's like, eats tuna twice a day, and that he died within the book. At least it said that the cat's head was in his hand.
I know.
And he died. I was like, stop it right now.
Well, no.
I was like, that's how Cordelia and I are gonna die together in like 55 years. Her and I.
Yeah.
She doesn't know it yet, but she's gonna live a really, really long time.
Yep.
And we will die in each other's arms.
Yeah, for sure. Totally.
So anyways, that was hands down my favorite part of the book. But I also really loved another part that I found really touching was when the girl started calling him grandpa.
I loved that part.
I loved that. Oh, and just like him bonding with the oldest daughter.
I was about to say, when he buys the iPad.
The iPad, don't even get me started. And he's like, which was such a full circle moment, because
I
know he's trying to buy at the beginning of the movie.
I know.
Which I also will say,
beginning of the book.
Sorry, yeah, the beginning of the book. I also will say that, like, I know that, like, he's kind of a dick, but every time he insults someone, I would laugh so hard because they were so, like,
spot on.
Like, when he first insults the, like, mass index of the skinny iPad, like, person he's trying to buy the iPad from, I laughed so hard. I was like, oh my god, can you imagine just getting your entire self-esteem served to you on a platter by a 60-year-old man? I was like, this guy, you cannot touch a hair on this man, honestly. Yeah. Like, I just love him. He's so funny. And so anyways, I really love that he bought the iPad after, like, bonding with her over them, like, both just loving to build houses.
I know.
And I was like, stop, that's so cute. And so anyways, those were some of my highlights. But I will say, I couldn't really come up with the least favorite part. There wasn't anything that, like, in this book that stuck out to me as something that, like, was really, that I really didn't like.
So there was nothing that I really didn't like, but there was one part that I kind of didn't like. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I couldn't even come up with that. So
the only part that I didn't like And again, I didn't really dislike it. I just felt like it could have been done better because I felt like it made the cheese factor kind of go like way higher than it needed to be. Was the very end when the like government guy comes to like get Rune and he's like, who's going to take care of you guys or whatever? And they're like, I am. And I am. And I am. And I am. I'm like, okay, like, we get it. Like, you guys are all banding together. Like, I just felt like that part was really, really cheesy.
That's fair. Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? That kind of made my spine hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was, like, sweet. And then I did love how he had the moment with Rune, like, by himself after. And that, like, they heard Rune laugh.
Yeah.
And, like, so it was fine. But that was like the only part that I was like, okay, like I wish like they just had like set the guy up with like the reporter and just gone like that route instead of it, like doing that whole thing, you know. That was just my only, and again, it was a minor qualm, but it was definitely I felt like could have done without and just been better.
I mean, absolutely, they could have even just had one of them be like, I'm gonna do it.
Yes, exactly.
Even if they know that
everyone... Even if it was, like, just Jimmy. Like, I'm going to do it. Like, these people are second parents to me. It's fine.
Yeah. You know? No, I'm with you. Yeah.
So but... that was my only part that I didn't love.
All right, cool.
So what would you rate the book?
I mean, like, four. I mean, I just don't really... Four, even maybe 4.5. I really don't have, like... I mean, it's not, like, my favorite genre of book reading necessarily, but like I don't really have, I thought it was a really well written book.
Yeah.
And I really loved the story. Like, again, I couldn't even really come up with the least favorite part.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'd rate it pretty high. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was a solid 5 for me, even with that part. Like, I loved it. I love books like this, though. Like, lonely people finding like family is like, that if that's a genre, that's like one of my favorites. So, like, for real, I have read so many books like this, and like,
to be fair, it is so touching.
It is
so,
it makes you want to be a better person.
Make you want to be a better person. Yes.
And I feel like if more people read books like this, like, it would be a better place, you know. And like, so
that's true.
I loved it. Solid 5 for me. I just thought, and like a book that can make
I'll give it 5 too. You convinced me. I just felt like I'm always told I'm not critical enough. So I'm always like trying to be more critical than I want to be. And but I think 5 as well.
Yeah. But it was like a book that can make me laugh and sob is usually going to be a 5-star read for me. Like, I like to feel all the emotions in a book, you know.
Yeah.
And the fact that this had such a beautiful love story on top of all of that, and I love romance, so I mean, it really, to me, it had it all. It was a great first book of the year for sure.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah. So, all right. Moving on to A Man Called Otto.
Yeah, let's do that one next.
Okay. So we both saw Otto before Uwe.
Rachel, you never told me what the robot meant.
I don't know.
Oh.
Hey, tell the listeners what you're referring to.
Okay, so when I watched this movie, it was a miserable time. I was in the movie theater and I still had this cough, and when I bought my ticket, there was like 2 people in the theater with me and they were nowhere close. And it was 30 minutes before the movie started. And then all of a sudden, this tiny theater packs out. And there's my entire row is filled. And this couple next to me were all over each other and talking the whole time. And I had a really bad headache from trying to keep my coughs in the whole time. And it was just not great. But anyways, so all of that to say, some of my notes that I took when I reread them, I was like, I don't really remember what this means. But one of the first notes I wrote was, OMG, the robot is hilarious. And I'm assuming it's something that Otto said when he was making fun of someone. And I thought it was probably really funny. And so I asked Rachel to look out for it.
That was a note you wrote?
Yeah.
I thought that was a screenshot of like a letterbox review and you were like trying to figure out.
I even said to you it must be early on in the movie because it was one of the first notes I took. I even texted that to you.
I missed it. It's also a screenshot from the notes in your phone. Do you not know what that looks like?
I do, but I wasn't paying attention that much. Jessica, calm yourself.
I'm not calm. I need you to be more detail-oriented. Oh, it's fine. I guess I'll never know what that meant. But maybe someone else can tell me what joke that was, because yeah. I'll probably never watch this movie again. So
yeah,
doesn't really matter. But I guess I'll never know what the robot meant.
Yeah, no, I don't remember that. Like, I mean, I listened out for it while I was watching, but then I was like, I definitely didn't see anything about a robot. But yeah, so I can't explain it to you. Sorry.
Oh well. Yeah. Anyways, what were your thoughts on Otto?
So first off, I brought my friend Leslie with me, who her last name is Anderson, and like I didn't know that obviously this one's last name was gonna be Anderson.
Yeah.
And he kind of like looked like her dad. Aww. And so I felt real bad because it was a little bit, I feel like, a triggering kind of type movie.
Yeah.
But like she really liked it. And I liked it a lot more until I watched Uva, and then like
that
definitely went down. Because I will say, after watching Uva, I was like, oh, like I don't even know if these people read the book. They just kind of like copied the movie. Like there were scenes from Otto
I know
that were the exact same of Uva.
Yeah.
Like copy paste.
Which I just want to say that A Man Called Uva is a shorter movie than A Man Called Otto.
Wait, really?
Yes.
They had like, so much more in it.
I know. By like 5 to 10 minutes, it like wasn't like a huge difference, but it is. I noticed. And A Man Called Uva has so much more in it and is such a better movie than A Man Called Otto.
That is crazy.
While I was watching A Man Called Otto, I was like, I bet this movie, because there were parts of A Man, and I hadn't seen A Man Called Uva yet either.
Yeah.
But watching A Man Called Otto, I was fully convinced going into Otto that it wasn't going to be as good as Uva. Like, I don't know why. I just was like, nope, the Swedish movie's going to be better. I just know it.
Oh, I mean, and same.
I felt like there were parts of Otto, which again, I was in not the best headspace, but I was like, certain scenes that just dragged. And I was like, it doesn't need to be this long for us, for the point to get across. Like, why are we not getting more of Otto's backstory and how he grew up? And like, I want, like, I was like annoyed about certain things. And then I was like, I bet this movie is longer than Uva is too. And then when I turned on Uva and I saw that it was 1 hour and 55 minutes and that Otto was like 2 hours and 6 minutes, I was like, ah, I knew it.
That's crazy. That really is crazy.
I know, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, yeah, that really is. Because Uva really does have so much more of the book in it. And so.
So much more.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So this is going to be kind of, so just overall in general, I thought A Man Called Otto was fine.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad, but it could have been so much better. I felt like Tom Hanks was not the right man for the role of Otto.
I agree.
He's a good actor, obviously.
Yeah.
And so like he was fine, but I felt like it could have been someone else that could have done a lot better of a job, basically.
Yeah.
But from reading reviews, I feel like I'm kind of in the minority with my least favorite part here. So I guess I'm doing least favorite before favorite. Sorry.
I don't care. You get to do what you want. It's your podcast. You make the rules.
That was right. But I really didn't like Marisol that much.
Oh,
like,
you didn't?
I didn't. And
are you saying based off of people's reviews or my review?
All reviews.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Literally all the reviews I read were like, she was a bright star. Like, she was a shining light. Like, literally.
Well, I bet you most of those people didn't read the book, nor did they watch A Man Called Uva.
Maybe.
Watch the Uva movie. Which, so they're not, like, they're, I think that I, never mind. You keep going.
I just felt like she, like, the way Parvana is in both the book and the other movie, it's like, she's a strong woman, but she's also can be, like, understated, and she like has her moments, but like I could feel why Uva was like drawn to her.
Yeah,
but I felt like with Marisol, I feel like he would have just been annoyed with her. Like, she was too much to me. And I personally felt like it was unbelievable that he would like her, I guess.
Fair.
You know what I mean? Like, she wasn't, to me, she was no different than like Jimmy and like all of the other like eccentric kind of outgoing people.
Right.
Where Parvana was different. Like, she was strong and out there, but she also was like
steady and like
he was steady. She was also quieter. She wasn't as I know what you're getting.
You know what I mean? And so I didn't like that. Like that was by far my least favorite part because I felt like it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so, but it was, but again, I saw that I was pretty much in the minority there. Like Leslie loved her and thought she was great.
Yeah.
And so that was my thing that I definitely did not like as much. What about you? What was your least favorite? Actually, I already know what your least favorite is, but I want you to say it.
You do?
Oh, I think I do, but we'll
see. No, well, now I want to know what you think my least favorite part was.
The CGI cat.
It has something to do with the cat, but it's not actually the CGI cat. That's my least favorite part. But the cat is in the scene.
Okay.
That's my second to least favorite part. Because honestly, I just think it's so lazy when like you can train a freaking cat. We all, if you have spent any time on the internet in the last 5 years, you can see that people train their cats all the time now. Like,
and also like there have been movies with cats in it forever that the cat was clearly trained.
Clearly, like I'm like, why did we have to have a freaking CGI cat? And then I also think I was confused though, because I feel like maybe certain scenes it wasn't CGI'd.
Okay, well, listen to this.
Okay,
after I read your review, I literally turned to Matt and I was like, Matt, I did not notice that the cat was CGI. And he was like, of course you did it.
That's so you. That is so you. It's like when you never notice that someone's wearing a wig. And I'm like, how can you not tell that they're not in a wig? Like, I don't understand. Oh, it's my greatest qualm with you. You don't pick up on these details. Drive me crazy. I will say, I didn't fact check this, so I don't know for sure. But I think that there were definitely times when I was clearly bad. But then there were times where I was like, is he holding a real cat now? Like, which I don't know if it's just is that like CGI is getting better or if like they did use a real cat for certain things. And then,
which I could see that.
Or they pulled like a, they pulled, what's the guy's, I shouldn't be laughing at this. They pulled like a Paul Walker and they used like a twin cat. Wait, is that his name?
I don't get where you're coming, like what you're
from Fast and the Furious.
Yeah,
remember when he dies.
Yeah,
and then they put like the twin in the end of the movie, but then they CGI his face over his twin. Like, what if they like used a real cat, but then they like CGI'd the cat's face over the real cat to like make its head move in the directions it wanted?
Oh, okay. I was like, I am so lost. I'm like, why would they need to do that?
They probably didn't do that. I just thought it was a funny thought that came to me. Anyways, so my least favorite part of A Man Called Otto was specifically how they found him dead on the bed, like he had just like fallen over and plopped there.
Yeah,
and like then the cat was just like laying off to the side, like
yeah, didn't
have a fucking bond,
right?
And I was like, absolutely not. That is not how he dies. I was waiting for that scene.
Right.
I was like waiting for my heart to break and burst, seeing him peacefully asleep on his bed,
right,
with the cat cuddled up to him in some way,
right.
And that the cat was literally on the other side of the bed.
Yeah.
While he looked like he had just fallen over onto the
right.
And I was like, that is not like that. I felt like was heartbreaking in a way that didn't need to happen, where it's like, oh, he had like almost like, you know, he had essentially like a heart attack
because
his heart was too big and just like fell over versus just like being really exhausted because his heart is too big and falls asleep and then just doesn't wake back up, which is what happens in the book and the Swedish film.
Right.
And so I just really, I don't know, I was really, really upset about it. Like, I felt anger at that being how they decided to portray his death.
Yeah, I didn't like it either.
Really not happy about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then the CGI'd cat. I was like, I mean, if you're going to CGI the cat, you might as well have him cuddled up next to him. Like, you could put the cat anywhere. I don't know why it's being the other side of the bed.
True.
But anyway, so I really didn't like that.
Yeah.
But other than that. And then, I mean, as we're talking about things we didn't like, I also thought that because Tom Hanks is a good actor, he did a good job of, like, being a grumpy old man.
Yeah.
But I didn't find him the least bit intimidating in the way that you're supposed to find Uva intimidating, because he's right. supposed to be like a tall, right. big guy.
Yeah.
Who's supposed to be like, and also I felt, I know this is weird, or I don't know if this is weird, but I felt like Hank's Otto was like, which is why I actually think he worked better with Marisol, is because I felt like he like wasn't as mean or as grumpy or honestly as much of a dick as like Uva was.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, he just didn't feel like he, I felt like he was so hard, like, or much easier, like easily like won over.
Right.
You know what I
because
mean?
Like, it's Tom Hanks.
Like, I found him like, to be like softer than Uva.
Right.
Like, Otto was like softer than Uva in every way, shape, and form.
Yeah.
The way he looked, the way he acted, all of it, which is why I also feel like I think Marisol didn't really bother me as much because I already felt like I wasn't really that the character of Uva had changed enough that it worked with Marisol.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, no, that's totally. Kind of more, I think, why I ended up liking Marisol and I didn't really feel a type of way towards her because at that point I was already like, well, this Otto is not Uva, so we might as well just, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, I guess I'll just go with it from here.
Yeah.
And I was so annoyed with so many things that I wanted something that, like, I really liked, and it was her. You know what I mean? Like, which I think, like, honestly, if A Man Called Otto was not based on a book and then there already wasn't a much better
it'd be different.
As, like, a standalone movie, its own thing that didn't have anything to be based on, I would have liked it a lot more.
For sure.
I would have been like, oh, like, that was, I'm sure I would have not really had any of the problems, or as many of the problems as I'm having now.
Yeah. No, so, for sure.
Yeah.
I got it. So this isn't, like, my favorite part per se, but it's, like, my favorite part that only exists in this movie, so that's why I'm, like, going to use it.
Yeah.
But young Reuben was so hot. Did you notice?
Oh, young Reuben. Sorry. I thought you were saying young Otto, and I was like, we're going to, we need to, no offense. But I was like, wait, what? No, young Reuben was super hot.
Right? I saw him, and I was like, my God. Like, this man is fine.
Yeah, I've never seen him on anything before.
Me either.
He didn't look familiar to me, but he was very hot. So wait, this is your favorite part of the movie?
Yes.
Wow.
Because I'm saying it only like exists in this movie, you know?
So I was like, so funny.
I'm picking this as my favorite because I would watch it again to see him, you know?
Oh,
he really was though. He was really hot.
Like, also, again, this was something I got to be better about this. I wanted to look up, but I didn't. The actor that played young Otto, I kept looking at his face being like, did they put prosthetics on his face to make him look like Tom Hanks?
Lol, Jessica, that's his kid in real life.
Oh my God. That makes so much sense to me. I truly, Rachel, was like, wow, he looks a lot like Tom Hanks. Like, did they literally put stuff on his face to make him look as much like Tom Hanks?
Yeah, no, that's his kid. That's one of his sons.
Wow, I feel like I'm just, never mind, I'm going to bite my tongue because I was going to say something really, that was just not going to be nice.
So okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it because it's just not fair.
Okay.
I thought he did a great acting job.
He did. So I thought he did really good.
I don't need to say anything that I was about to say. That was just going to be shallow and vain anyway. Okay. So.
Yes.
Anyways, that makes so much sense to me. Yeah. Okay. Well, my favorite part of this movie was also only in this movie. And it was the part that made me laugh the hardest, but it was, and it's very, like, small, but it was, like, after he was done, Uva had just babysat for the girls.
Uh-huh.
And they come home, and he, like, wakes up with the girls, and they're all like, good job, Uva, you did it! And then he pats him, they're like, pat yourself on the back, and he pats himself on the back with the fake hand.
That part was cute, yeah.
That part was really cute and did make me laugh out loud. Yeah. The fake hand really got me.
Yeah.
Because, like, that was really cute and super funny. But yeah, so that was just my favorite part of the movie, which is sad, but also,
it is. Yeah. So what would you give A Man Called Otto?
Again, it was hard because it was, if it was a standalone, I probably would have rated it higher, but I ended up just giving it 2.5 stars, I think.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, it's not a good adaption.
Yeah. I mean, I gave it 3. I didn't think it was horrible.
Yeah.
Overall, I liked it.
Honestly, that half a star went away because of how mad I was about him plopping over on this bed and not being cuddling with the cat. And then also the CGI'd cat. I just couldn't get that. It really takes you out of the movie.
Yeah. I know. Apparently.
Yeah. And a man called Uva, the Swedish film, proves to you that you can have a real cat and it works.
Yeah. So. Definitely. All right. Well, let's move on to Uva.
Yeah. It's
Swedish movie.
This was truly such a phenomenal adaptation.
It was.
It just like, obviously it had to leave some things out because you just have to.
Right.
But it really didn't leave out a lot.
It didn't.
And it just stayed so true to the book in every way it could.
It did.
I was just so thrilled. And all of the actors were so good.
They were. They did so, so good.
So good. Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
I thought you went away there, but I guess we were both waiting for the other one to say
something. We were.
Anyway.
Catching our breath, you know. But yeah, I totally agree. This movie was so amazing. I, like, after watching Otto, I was, like, sad thinking about, like, all of the stuff that like, I wasn't going to get to see on film. And then it wasn't like that. I was like, it showed so much. And like the little kid Otto. Uva.
Yeah.
Made me so emotional because.
So emotional.
He like reminded me of like Calvin and Vincent. You know what I mean? Oh, that like blonde, pale, blue eyed look that kids have. And so I like. Oh, and he was just so freaking cute. And him and his dad's relationship was so sweet. And like getting to watch that was so nice because I wasn't expecting it after watching Otto. I loved getting to see more of the backstory of Uva.
Yeah, me too.
And so, because it's like, I can't even tell you which parts I liked more between his backstory and his current life. Like, it was just like a whole thing. So I want to see all of it. And like, clearly Otto focused way more on the now and not the backstory. And I felt like this Uva did way better of a job of showing both.
Yeah.
And so I loved that. I absolutely loved that.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with all of that.
Yeah.
It was just a really, I mean, it was a great adaptation, and it also was just a great standalone movie because the actors were phenomenal.
Oh,
and
they did so good.
It was also filmed really well.
Yeah.
And everything. So it's just like, I mean, I really don't have anything bad to say about this movie.
And what you said about the music was so spot on. Oh, like when you texted me, the music was beautiful.
The music was so beautiful and truly, was it or was it not like a little sinister in the beginning?
Yeah, no, it was.
And I was like, wow, they're like really like giving, they're making you feel the way you're supposed to feel about a character with this music.
No, it kind of reminded me of like music in the background of like Harry Potter. And like, I love the Harry Potter music. And like, that's like what it reminded me of where like music really feeds into like the scenes.
Yes.
And I thought the music was so good.
Yeah, no, the music was, it really got me from like pretty much the first scene on. I was like, wow, this music is like, it's just amazing. It's like, I really feel like it fits what I should be feeling and it's amplifying it. Like, it was just so amazing.
Oh, yeah. No, I loved it.
No, I completely agree.
What was your least favorite part of the movie?
I have to scroll down. okay. So we have yet to actually discuss this character at all because they're so minor, but Patrick.
Yeah.
Okay, so Patrick in the book is Parvana's husband, right? And Patrick in the book is like, he gives me golden retriever energy, right?
It's him.
Yeah, and he's just like, I feel like he completely does not care that Uva's always like making fun of him.
Okay, he reminds me of kind of like how Marisol was in Otto, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's okay, but I also felt like he was like that in Otto as well.
No, yeah, for sure. But like, I'm saying Patrick, like
Patrick in Otto was him, was exactly also what I would have, he was a great, I felt like he was how I would have expected Patrick to be.
Yeah.
Because like in Otto, I love the, I really like the little scene like where Marisol and Otto go off to do the driving lesson, and he closes the door, and he's like, "All right, girls, the adults are gone."
Yeah,
and he loved that, and he was just like so sweet the whole. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's like how he was
in the book.
In the book, and he, you know, and when Uva, or sorry, when Otto or Uva in the book fixes the dishwasher, he's like, "Oh my god, how did he do that? Like, that's so crazy! Like, you know what I mean? Like." I can't believe he pulled it off. Like, he's just, like, so surprised all the time. And he's so, like, he's literally, like, a golden retriever. And I found him to just be very sweet. I know he was, like, super minor or whatever. But I really liked him.
Yeah, me too.
And I loved his, you know, just his very cute, like, playfulness with his daughters. Mm-hmm. And also just that he never seemed, like, he always just felt, I felt like he was always just doing a, oh, Uva, in his head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it just, like, nothing bothered him. The movie, the Swedish movie, I found him to be a lot more, like, clearly annoyed with Uva all the time.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that, like, when Uva fixed the dishwasher, he came home and was like, did you give him permission to do that?
Right.
Like, I was like, bitch, he fixed your dishwasher.
Right.
Like, I didn't like that. I didn't like when his daughters are running around him after he breaks his leg and he's like, girls, watch out for my leg.
Right.
Like, I was like, okay, he's... None of, like, he kept making weird faces at Parvana, like, all this stuff. And I was just like, I don't like this portrayal of Patrick.
Yeah.
And it literally was the only thing I did not like about this movie.
Yeah.
Other than that, I loved it.
Yeah.
Literally, I just was like, and that's, like, so minor, like, obviously I can live with that, but I just was like, ugh, they did my boy Patrick dirty.
Yeah.
And I, like, and, oh, also, when, in the morning, when Parvana opens the window, the morning Uva dies, and she's like, which in the book and in the film, Patrick is the one that's like, or an Otto. Patrick is like, Parvana, he didn't.
Yeah.
That's weird. He didn't, like, he's the one that notices it.
Yeah.
And then in this movie, she's like, oh my God, he didn't, you know, whatever. Yeah. When he shovel his, the snow. Yeah. And he's like, it's 8 a.m. Who cares, basically.
Right.
And I was like, ugh, I don't like this.
Yeah.
Because it made, you know what it was? It also made me sad that she was like married to him.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was also like, I was like, ew, who wants to be married to somebody like this? Like, where it was like, I loved how fun and like sweet he was and in the other portrayals of him. So, yeah.
No, for sure.
That was my thing that I didn't like.
So, my least favorite thing, and this happened in Otto too, and I didn't like it in Otto, but like, I really didn't like it in this because I thought like they would do a better job of it and they didn't. Was with Rune when they're going through the cars and they're like showing them like having the different kinds of cars, right? Mm-hmm. And how like that was leading to like why they didn't like each other. And then like he like goes to bury the hatchet and then he has that two-seater and he's like, no. And it literally just makes it look like they don't like each other because of cars. And like that is not at all what happens, and it's all about the kid versus them losing their kid, him never being close to his son, him not being able to forgive them. And then when he gets that two-seater, Uva like is like, you being like, you gave up on ever having a relationship with your kid by buying this car that only fits two people. And like he couldn't get past that, which I understood because of everything he lost. And like I loved that part in the book. Like, I thought it was really creative and so heartbreakingly sad the way that he used those cars to show that.
Yeah.
And then it was like, if you're not going to, like, really explain what this car thing means, like, don't put it in. Because it just
now looks, that's fair.
It just looks stupid. You know?
No, that is fair.
And so that, by far, was my least favorite part of the movie. And in both movies, like, I didn't, like... in Otto, but like with Otto I just was like expected it at that point, you know. But with Uva, because it had done such a good job of showing and explaining everything else, I was like expecting them to explain that too, and then it didn't. And like, even, you know, my husband Matt, like, he didn't read the book, and so after the movie was over we were talking about it, he was like, yeah, like, this seems like a really dumb reason to not like someone, like, over a car, like, really? And it's like, no, like, that's not what it was, but that's, like, totally what you would think if you didn't know, you know what I mean? So I felt like that did, like, a disservice to the story by not explaining that.
Yeah, totally.
So that was definitely my least favorite part.
Yeah.
But, again, still loved the movie, but that part really did bother me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure we're going to have the favorite part.
obviously it's Uwe and Sonia being reunited on the train together at the end after he dies.
I mean,
I literally made it through the whole movie without crying and then burst into tears in the last 30 seconds of the freaking movie when that happened. Yeah.
I mean, I could cry right now just thinking about
I know. It's so good.
Oh my god. Like, I was so confused when they like, oh, so he's like laying on this like wood thing, right? And I was like, are they showing him like in his coffin? And yeah. Then he opens his eyes and I was like, is he buried alive? Like, what is that? And then when he sits up and it's like clear that he's like on a train, and then I realized what was happening. Oh my freaking god, yeah, I like literally lost it, like sobbing.
Yeah. No, it was so good. I mean I was like, I thought obviously when he first opens his eyes he was in the coffin, mm-hmm. but I also was like, oh, we're getting an afterlife thing.
Yeah.
So like I just immediately assumed it was like, oh, we're gonna see him. I didn't know if we would see him actually with Sonia, but I right. figured it was some sort of like that type of thing, like he's gonna walk off into the light or something,
right?
Which would have been really lame, so yeah. I'm glad they did it this way instead. But I was like, oh, okay, we're getting like an afterlife shot
here. Yeah.
But yeah, it was just so, I loved that.
Yeah.
And then also just an extra favorite part of this movie, I really loved young Uwe.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we saw young Uwe, the more I fell in love with him. And
I know.
Like, wow, he just kept getting hotter.
Yeah.
And hotter.
He was a cutie.
He was a cutie. And then he just, like, and then because of his personality, he just kept getting more and more attractive.
Yeah.
With every single thing he did.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my favorite scenes of young Uwe is him at, like, the kitchen table in Sonia's wheelchair. Mm-hmm. Like, messing around in it.
I know.
While she's like trying to like get I don't know what she was like, you know, doing something else at the right. kitchen table. But it was just so funny because it's like I feel like there weren't many times where you see Uwe be so playful.
Yeah.
And so like that was really cute, seeing this young Uwe with Sonia like be playful. Like he's yeah. just like messing around on the wheelchair.
Yeah.
Which was like, you know, it feels like it's so out of character for him, but there was always this like more playful side to him.
Yeah.
That would come out and stuff. And so I loved that.
Yeah.
And then obviously I loved the cat being A.
Gorgeous.
A, this cat was gorgeous and did not at all look like a freaking street cat. Yeah. I'm like almost positive that was a Persian cat.
Yeah.
But it's fine. And then also we got to see, and then I was happy when Uwe died and the cat was asleep on top of him.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, oh, I got what I wanted.
I know. I know.
And so anyways, yeah.
Wonderful. So yeah. This movie I would give 4 out of 5 stars. So basically everything dropped a star. So like the book is 5 stars. This movie was 4 stars. Otto was 3 stars. Like is how I would rate it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I also gave this movie 4 stars. So
yeah, it was definitely, you know, almost any book adaptation is not going to be as good as the movie for the most part.
Yeah.
But this one was, it did a really good job. Like it really did.
Yeah, no, it did. Yeah. It did. I really think it might have done the best I've ever seen.
Yeah. I can't say that because I feel like I'd have to really think about it, but it was up there.
I just feel like I would know if I felt so strongly that with the amount of like book to movie adaptions I've watched.
Yeah.
I just feel like even prior, you know, to this podcast, I would know. I mean, even like the Harry Potter books and movies that I love, none of those movies did as good of a job.
Yeah.
As adapting those into movies.
Yeah.
As this did, I thought. So, okay, just yawn. That's great.
It's late.
I know, but we don't want to give our listeners the idea that we're bored.
I'm sorry.
You know, I've yawned a lot since we've been on this, but I've covered my mouth and haven't let it be close to my mouth so that people couldn't hear. But I guess you're the one who's full of yawns and bubble farts, so.
Okay, Jessica. Okay. Anyway. Do you know the name of next month's book?
A Cabin at the End of the World?
the cabin. So really close.
The cabin at the end of the world. Yeah. See, I knew it.
So that is our February book that is going to be turned into a movie next month. Do you know the name of the movie? Because it's different.
A cabin. Yeah, it's not it though. I did notice it was different.
Yeah, it's and not.
I think it's the cabin at the end of the lane. No, the street. The cabin in the woods.
Knock at the cabin.
Oh, okay. I did see that it was different, but I had forgotten. So yeah.
So I'm actually already almost finished with the book. But
good for you.
I know. And like from the trailer, like watching the trailer of the movie to the book, it's from that, it looks like it's actually going to be very faithful. So we'll see.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Our boy, Rupert Grint, is in it, which is all I needed to know.
Yes.
To watch this movie.
So it's the new M. Night Shyamalan movie. So, which is Jessica and I were hesitant in the sense we're not, you know, we watched
I some was hesitant until I saw that Rupert Grint was in it. And then I was like, I'm obviously going to watch this.
Yeah. So, but this is, you know, a different for the Slayer sisters. So it's not a horrible rom-com. It's a, you know, highbrow horror. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I honestly have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to probably read this book in the daytime.
Yeah.
So.
For sure. There are definite parts that are strictly daytime reading.
I feel like if I read it at night, I just literally won't ever fall asleep.
Yeah.
Because my anxiety will be too high.
Yeah. No, for sure. So.
Anyways.
All right. Well, thanks, guys.
Yes, guys. Thanks for listening. And if you haven't yet, please rate and review and subscribe.
Yes, please.
We That's need wonderful. It. I'm begging. Please. All right. Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Lay on.